Cleverlands, The Secrets Behind the Success of the World's Educational Superpowers. Author, Lucy Crehan. Journey Around the World. There is an international test called PISA, the Program for International Student Assessment, covering reading, math, and science. Each country that chooses to participate enters a representative sample of 15-year-olds to sit the papers. In 2000, when the program began, 43 countries took part. In the following 15 years, more and more countries have signed up. The results of these tests shape the difference in education systems around the world. Finland. The Finnish strategy for achieving equality and excellence in education has been based on constructing a publicly funded comprehensive school system without selecting, tracking, or streaming students during their common basic education. Part of the strategy has been to spread the school network so that pupils have a school near their homes whenever possible, to provide free transportation to more widely dispersed schools. Comprehensive schools provide an entitlement curriculum to all children without selection whether due to financial considerations or attainment. What contributed to this system's success was the slow lead-in time. Hundreds of teachers were involved in finding out what methods worked best. The Finns have created a system that plays precisely into the psychological prerequisites for intrinsically motivated teachers. 1. Mastery. The Finnish government funds a 5-year master's degree in education. All teachers produce a master's level thesis in an educational topic of their choice, are taught the latest educational science based on up-to-date research on teaching practice, and complete a placement in a special teacher training school. 2. Relatedness. Finnish teachers have more positive relationships with others than anyone else. They meet at least weekly to plan together. They don't have positions of authority within the school other than the principal. They don't have performance-related pay or anything else that might put them in competition with one another. 3. Autonomy. Finnish teachers have autonomy over how they teach and what they teach. Teachers really are trusted in Finland. Once they're qualified, there's no teacher evaluation process. There's no one looking over their shoulder at what they're doing. Japan. The main theme of education in Japan is the importance placed on teaching the children to live as part of a group. At the first day of school, students are divided into bands. A band is a group of 4 or 5 children that would do everything with each other. Japanese children sit with their band, do classwork with their band, eat lunch with their band, and clean the school with their band. The importance of group continues to be emphasized at junior high. They still have band, but the identity of the whole class becomes more important. Students take ownership of the classroom decoration and stick up posters with class slogans they've decided on as a group. All of this fosters a sense of belonging and shared responsibility for the outcomes of the class. This is known as collective responsibility. The difficulty with collective identity and responsibility is its pernicious effect on individuality. Students don't want to be outside the box because they shouldn't. Students feel close to each other because they all go through hardships together. But on the flip side, they feel controlled, like they cannot give their opinion and cannot think differently from the rest of the group. The Japanese public school system ensures that everyone has the same education so that no one has any unfair advantages, and the test results and subsequent high school's access are based on how hard the young person has studied. Within their school, students are not separated into different classes according to their ability. The same class will contain all kinds of capabilities. Their educational system is based on the assumption that everyone is intellectually equal, and it's the environment and the individual's work ethic that lead to eventual distinctions in academic ability. The education system in Singapore aims to identify talent in the young and give different opportunities to different children dependent on that talent. This system assumes that it's possible to accurately identify talent at the age of 10 and 12. The downsides of streaming at this age have recently been debated in Singaporean Parliament, and the government is piloting a program whereby students who couldn't cope with the level of work will be able to take courses in the subjects they did well in at their PSLE. These moves are due to recognition that streaming early can mean that late developers miss out on the chance to pursue dreams they're perfectly capable of achieving. Parental expectations and involvement are high in Singapore. When parents have the money, they spend it on private tuition. And because education is a competition, out-of-school tutors are often used to get ahead rather than catch up in a subject you struggle with. When the best opportunities for a good life are only given to the top-ranked students, and the parents of most students are buying private tuition, parents who aren't comfortable with this model are left in a difficult position. Exams are actually getting harder, which puts pressure on parents to fund private tuition and further psychological pressure on the children to study harder than their peers. The Singaporean system doesn't necessarily overcome the difficulty of getting those from poor backgrounds to perform as well as their more affluent peers. However, once children are streamed, it does make sure that nearly all reach a certain minimum standard. Shanghai. In China, all lessons have students attempting the same work. Though some raced ahead, no one was given an easier worksheet or told to work on a separate task with a teaching assistant. Of course, some found it trickier, and the teachers would help those during and after the lesson, but they were still attempting to help them reach the same level as the rest of the class. They were given challenges and support to rise to them, promoting the idea that all can achieve if they put in enough effort. Praise is used differently by teachers too. They frequently ask the most hardworking student, not the highest achieving one, to stand up and receive applause from the peers. This praise for effort is one of the most effective methods for promoting a growth mindset in children. Another source of the messages about the roles of effort comes from parents. Chinese parents tend to play down their children's success because they see it as their role to promote effort in their children and fear that emphasizing their achievements may lead to a lack of motivation to learn. Repetition is a fundamental part of China's education. We've seen several Chinese lessons in which the whole class repeats the text after the teacher, then again. Herein lies the paradox. In the West, we tend to think that the rote learning is unhelpful and old-fashioned. It doesn't allow for true understanding and use of the information. Yet students from Asian countries that take this approach consistently outperform Western students on PISA. Our mistake is in our assumption that memorization and repetition necessarily imply only shallow learning. Researchers distinguish between two types of learning strategies that outwardly look the same: rote learning and repetitive learning. Rote learning is shallow, mechanistic, with no attempt at understanding. Repetitive learning, on the other hand, involves deepening your understanding through deliberate repetition, paying attention to the features of whatever you're repeating. Unlike rote learning, repetitive learning can lead to deeper understanding of the subject content. Canada. Canada is made up of 10 provinces and 3 vast but sparsely populated territories in the north. Each province and territory runs its own education, so Canada is effectively made of 13 different educational systems, 10 of which contribute to the PISA data. These provinces share similar textbooks, they all have strong teacher unions, teacher training is based on a common model, and most of them have similar assessment approaches. Educational leaders believe that their role is to engage the kids so they feel valued at the school and like they're a part of a community. But how do they actually do it? Actually, there are many layers. One is obviously the relationships they build in school, listening to the children and asking them what kind of things they'd like to be a part of. High schools offer an impressive array of extracurricular activities. One consequence of that array of activities is that everyone has a stake in school. You'll find counselors in every high school, but they aren't just there to support the students with mental health needs. Their role includes chatting to all the students about how everything is going and what courses they want to choose. Another more structural element that makes a difference to student motivation is the Canadian approach to grouping students. There's no selection into different schools, selection into different tracks within a school streaming, or selection into different classes until at least grade 9, age 14 to 15, when it commonly begins with the introduction of an advanced math class. It affords them considerable time to determine where their strengths and skills lie before sending them down a particular path. The power of education. Education has the ability to nurture talent, inspire passions, increase social mobility, and provide a framework for their community-minded citizens. Education systems are also just as capable of demotivating students and teachers, limiting the life chances of certain individuals, and amplifying pre-existing social inequality. By exploring the approaches and policies employed by some of the world's top-performing educational systems, you can come to a fuller understanding of what might work on your own.